reading to you from the sixth chapter of Mark, and with the 10th verse. And he said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. And in any place that does not receive you or listen to you, as you go out from there, shake off the dust from the soles of your feet for a testimony against him. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Friends, listen, I bet you say, I wonder what goes through a preacher's mind when he gets ready to preach. Well, one of the things, I know that I'll be preaching to people who don't know Jesus, just like I didn't for so long. But I want you to know tonight, dear friends, God loves you with an eternal love. And if you're tired of the way you've been living your life and you know you're wrong, why don't you come to Jesus and find out what we're talking about? He's standing right now with that stretched arm ready to receive you, if you'll repent. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to Jonah, book of Jonah, and let's begin reading with the third chapter. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3-day walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. And he issued a proclamation and said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man, beast, herd, or flock east, taste a thing, do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let man call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked ways and from his violence which is in his hands. Who knows, God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish. I've labeled this the second time. Friends, I hadn't been a Christian but a little over a year and a half, or actually a year when God called me to preach. Now I'm going to a church down in California, getting ready to try to go to seminary, which I never got to go to. I went to Bible college instead. But anyway, this pastor wanted me to preach for him one night, and I said, well, I've never preached for him in my life. Well, you've never preached before? No, I said, I'm just a young Christian. Well, anyway, he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll come over at your house. So he came over, and I went out and sat in the car with him, and he said, let me show you kind of how to draft a little thing for a message. And we went in the book of Jonah. So this is the first time I ever preached. I preached on the book of Jonah, and you know what? I think the sermon was exactly 8 minutes long. I preached it all. Every preacher that ever preached his life could relate to this story. God, I tell you, the first time you preached was murder. The second time I preached, it was murder. And on, and my poor wife, she used to sit there and pray for me and wring her hands because she knew I was struggling. But now tonight, dear friends, I want to talk about a second time. Here was a great city of Nineveh. God loved that city, just like he loves the United States of America tonight. Now, I want you, and I love my country, I love my flag, I love our servicemen and women who are fighting a losing war to try to make America a safe place. But I want you to know America had better do what Nineveh did and better get on her knees and repent, because the coming of the Lord is not too far in the distance. And the person, the country that forgets God, or the nation who forgets God, shall surely perish. You say America can't be won over? I wouldn't say that, my dear friends, if God allows it. Now, I'm telling you, we need a great spiritual revival to sweep through our land today. I mean a great revival, a sin-killing revival, because this world we live in is sinful. Now, here's what happened. When he got a call from the Lord, he had told him, "Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up to me." Well, now, this preacher said, "Wow, I don't like those people in Nineveh. Why would I want to go down and do that?" So what'd he do? He jumped on a ship to go the other way. Beloved, let me tell you, please let me tell you, you can't hide from God. If God puts his hand on your shoulder and taps you and says, "I want you to be a preacher. I want you to be a Sunday school teacher. I want you to do this or that," I would advise you to do it. You don't think Moses wasn't stunned when God called him after what the dumb thing he did down there in Egypt? But he had to go back and face those people, and Moses was triumphant. Why? Because God Almighty led him. Oh, friends, it would be good if we could say we've always done what God wants us to do, but we haven't. Now, on this ship, he was headed the wrong way. There appeared a great, huge, humongous storm. Well, those seamen were afraid. They were throwing stuff off the side, trying to lighten the ship. And guess where they found Jonah? Down in the bowels of the ship, sound asleep. Oh, that's the way a lot of preachers are today. They're sound asleep. They don't care if the world's going to hell. All they want to do is get a good bank account. And many of these radio and TV preachers have huge bank accounts telling you to do this and do that. And like you can rub God as a genie and he'll do whatever you want. Don't you believe that, beloved? Whenever you ask of something, it's in the center of God's will. He'll give it to you. If it's not, he won't. Well, so this storm came up, and so the guys run down. They found Jonah, and they said, "Boy, get up here and call on your God," small g. And so he said, "We're going to perish." So Jonah finally said, "All right." And then they drew lots to find out why, who's caused this big storm, and it fell upon Jonah. Oh, listen to me. Jonah finally told him, "Well, I'll fess up. Go ahead and throw me off the side of the ship, and the storm will subside," which it did. But in the meantime, God had prepared this great big old fish for 3 days of a living hell Jonah spent in that fish's belly. Believe me, can you imagine the stench and seaweed wrapped around his neck and old dead fish? And oh, what a horrible experience. Now, I want you to know, this is a kind of a top type of death, a burial, resurrection. Now, God had already prepared this fish. Don't you think it just happened to be? Everything was prepared in advance, and he swallowed old Jonah. Now, for 3 days, you can rest assured, Jonah talked with the Lord. Oh, yeah, he did. He really talked to the Lord. But the second came after failure and chastening. Oh, so many things about Jonah's response to God's call were wrong. First of all, his attitude was wrong. He knew better than that. He's fleeing. He knew better than that. Choosing self-will, he knew better than that. Chastening came to the wayward child of God. Listen, friends, Christians can never get away with sin. You say, "Well, Cecil, you know, I know people who say that they're sinless." Well, they're liars. Sure they are. There's no perfect man. Only perfect man ever on this earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, "He that says he doesn't have sin is a liar, and the truth's not in him." No, you're not perfect. And I've heard people say, "I want to find the perfect church." Well, you won't find it on this earth, because you can be a member of it, so you're not going to find it here. The only perfect church is the one whom we're born into when we're born again. That's a special church. Oh, my stars. No, this storm was no accident. The great fish was no accident. You know what? The examples those under God's chastening. See, Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Samson grinding in the prison house, blind and powerless. But God's grace reaches those who have failed. Samson would return and regain his strength. Peter, even though he wept because of his denials, because he was a spokesman for the church, and God will meet you where you are. Listen, old Peter, I love him. He made so many blessed mistakes. But he did love the Lord. Oh, he loved the Lord. And you know what? The day of Pentecost, guess who God called to be his spokesman? Old Peter. 5,000 saved in one meeting, 3,000 in another. Yes, he was a rock. He was God's man. The second call came from Jonah's old commission in 3 and 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. Well, here we see old Jonah in this old face, and he might even been seasick. But I do know one thing. When he decided he would obey God, the Bible says the fish spit him out. Probably vomited him out because no one likes a backsliding preacher. But there he was. Well, he thought deliverance was the best that could happen. Probably doubted that God would ever use him again. But God called Jonah the second time with the same message. Jonah, my message hasn't changed. I have a great city of 120,000 people and need to hear about me. So Jonah said it was a 3-day journey. You know how long it took him to make it? One day. He was in a hurry. Well, the God of the second chance, not for salvation, but for service. How do I know that? Well, here's a blessed message found in the 51st chapter of Psalms, where David cried out that, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He did not lose his salvation, but I'll guarantee you he lost the joy. Maybe you tonight are a born-again believer, and you were faithful to the Lord. You might have been a faithful deacon. You might have been a faithful Sunday school teacher, even a faithful preacher. But all of a sudden, something happened, and you started pouting like Jonah did. And you hang your head, and you walk out, and you leave. Well, listen. David was so unhappy after he committed that terrible sin. Oh, he was. And when he repented, God restored to him the joy of his salvation. If tonight you are living in sin and you are a Christian, here's what you have to do. You have to confess it. You have to tell the Lord what you did. And then you have to ask him to forgive you. Turn your back. Repent. Turn your back. And he said he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. Then you have restored the joy of your salvation. The second call came in spite of the fact that Jonah would fail again. Oh, Jonah was so displeased when Nineveh repented. Here's a man who is disappointed with his own success. Here's a preacher who regrets that God had used him. Here's an evangelist who was pouting over a whole city of penitence. Oh, listen, what hard hearts we have. Still, God loves us. You know what it says in John 4? Let me turn it here. It says, and it came about when the sun came up, and God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, death is better to me than life. Then God said to Jonah, do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant? And he said, I have good reason to be angry even to death. Then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. And should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals? Well, sure, the Lord even loved him when he was pouting. He didn't want Nineveh to repent. He didn't like those people. But God used his message. Listen, whatever your past, God will meet you today. Even if you are too weak and fail tomorrow, he will meet you today. That great spiritual Howard Beecher wrote this: no physician ever weighed out medicine to his patients with half so much care and exactness as God weighs out to us every trial. Not one grain is too much does he ever permit to put on the scales. You remember I told you how God helped me when I quit smoking? This is a scripture he gave me. He said, I'll put upon you no more than you what you can bear, but with it I'll offer an escape. And I told the Lord I couldn't quit smoking. And he said, yes, you can, because I'm going to help you. That's what we call being delivered. You know, an alcoholic, they go to AA, and they go to counseling, and they give them shots, and they give them pills, and all this. All they have to do is come to Jesus. Did you know I had a call from a far-out church, several years ago, and they wanted me to come down there and lay hands on these alcoholics and deliver them from alcoholism and the drug addict from drug addiction. I said, you're barking up the wrong tree. I can't deliver you, them, or anybody. Only Jesus. Remember that. It's good to have doctors, but when everything else fails, the Lord is the one that can take care of us. And you know what? Tonight, some of you say, Cecil, you know, I'm not an alcoholic, but shoot, my life is I'm in trouble. I'm in fetters. I don't know what to do. Well, listen, friend, I urge you, I beg of you, I plead with you, come to Christ tonight. He is standing with outstretched arms saying, come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you peace or I'll give you rest. He knows how you feel. You say, well, if he knows how I feel, why do I have to tell him? Well, because you do. Do you know what he told us in the scriptures? We have not because we ask not. He wants us to ask him for things. He sure does. And you say, my prayers can't be answered. Well, maybe it's because you're asking amiss. Maybe you're living in gross sin. Some of you people are shacking up. And you know, and you expect God to bless you for it? Forget it. You're a homosexual, you're a lesbian, you think God's going to bless you for it? Forget it. He wants you to repent of that sin. If you're an alcoholic, he wants you to repent. Well, I'll tell you what. Tonight, there's a possibility that God's Holy Spirit is tugging at your old heart tonight. Maybe you're that failure that God wants to get a hold of. And if you are, and you do feel it tugging at your heart, do me a favor, would you? And I sure don't want you to pray this prayer unless you mean it. Oh, please don't. But if you do, here's a prayer that can change your life. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for the things I've done to you and to myself and my family. And right now, Lord, I'm opening my heart. I'm inviting you in to be my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you meant that prayer, please call me at 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll sure not sit down right and ask you for any money. I'm not concerned about your money. But I am concerned where you spend eternity. I don't care where you go to church. I just want you to go to heaven. Someday, many years down the road, we'll meet on the glorious side of heaven, walking the streets of gold and rejoicing because of Jesus, the only one that can save your soul. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534.
not important as before. Don't ask me if he's good or bad. I only know the guilt I had is gone, and I can't tell you anymore.
Well, dear friends, thank you for listening tonight. Oh, listen to me. Pray for our great nation. Pray for America. Oh, pray for the preachers and the evangelists and the missionaries that are going out day by day trying to bring our country back before it's too late. Oh, there's a great need for a revival in our land. Well, friends, and be sure and pray for me and my wife and my quartet as we go to prison. And do pray for our health that we'll be strong enough to keep on keeping on until the time that Lord said, it's all over, time to come home. Would you do that? Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Please stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.